How's it going, folks? Welcome to Blind Bargains Cast 135. I love those multiples of five, those kind of even numbers, even though five is an odd number. Hey, odd. What's up, Joe?
Oh, I like the transition there. That is
not what I was intending, but hey, it worked.
Apt, I guess. Sure. Hey, how's it going, JJ? Once again, you are coming from a place somewhere on the East Coast, as am I, somewhat.
Ooh, yes. No,
my normal place.
Trapped in this basement, but actually a really good Airbnb, so they've been hosting me for a few weeks. Really cool stuff. So is this week's show.
We'll have to talk about the accessibility at some point about that.
Oh, yes.
You're not using it for San Diego, are you?
Well...
Possibly.
I don't think so.
Possibly?
I think we might have a room question mark. We will find.
Good luck with that. Ricky and I have a room. I've already offered the floor of the bathtub, so you're good.
Okay. All right. Well, we do have a, you know, we're trying to get the CUNATC18. To get towards that.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that the new one?
That's what it was last year. This is a change of year
Can
ago.
Can I buy a vowel, Pat? Is that available on the port?
Okay. There's two of them in there. We still have a little bit from ATIA 2018, which we haven't got to it because we kind of had some breaking news and things like that. So we have John Taylor from IRI AT to talk about a smartphone with a numeric keypad. So
what?
Could be interesting. This is from the people who made the Captain GPS. It's the CapC Smart Vision. And it kind of combines some of your smartphone features with some of your simple phone features. So if you wanted to know what would happen if you were to take a Motorola Android phone and smash it with a Samsung Haven, this is kind of the phone. That might not be the description he would use, but you know, hey, we'll stay tuned for that a little bit later on.
I wonder if you could use it on the new Nokia. You know, they brought back the Matrix phone, the banana phone. So that's a flip phone, or so it was in 1999.
Oh, yeah. Banana phone.
Yeah. They could totally use, with the camera, be my eyes on that particular phone more than likely. And that would be really cool because one of the things as we move into the news section is that Be My Eyes is working now with Microsoft to provide tech support. How is this going to work out, Jay?
Well, I haven't tried it yet, so maybe if any of our listeners have, they could write in. But what there is on the app, there's now two buttons, request assistance, try saying that, and request specialized help. Now, it's about 7 p.m., and Microsoft Help is showing as open. There's also an option that says Be My Eyes Technical Support, which I wonder if that's ever open. It says it's closed.
Oh, true.
So,
right.
You know, if you have some questions, I'm assuming it's going to cover things like narrator and... maybe office applications, and hey, maybe your Xbox, Joe. Maybe you should test it out and see how far they're willing to go and help.
True. Okay.
But hit it, and
so
it's free.
So Microsoft products, Office and the like, and of course, remember, Microsoft isn't just Windows. It's Office for Mac or Office for
My Eyes is not available
for
Windows
Phone. Android. No, they pretty much admitted Windows Phone is not long for this world, nor is the classic version of Skype, as some have found out, as Microsoft has retired old Skype for...
Yeah. You know, what do you think, though? Okay, this this is one of those, okay, how is Be My Eyes going to make money? Yes, here we go again with the business stuff, but I mean, I like exploring this because this is an app that, unlike some of the others, they have to find some way to make money because right now it's all volunteers. And even though it's volunteers, you still have server time and space and bandwidth and things like that. So I'm sure there's some arrangement here. And, you know, perhaps it's an interesting way to do specialized support. You know, maybe you see Amazon
great
popping
promotion
up, right?
For them. Totally great promotion for them. Yeah. Well, and Microsoft has continued this with their open initiative. They're using LibLui for Braille. They're recommending NVDA for some things, especially when it was coming down to Microsoft Edge and Edge support. So they've been working with NVDA to provide better Edge support. I think this is kind of the mentality that's going on, and I'm just guessing here, at Microsoft, is to promote open standards and open approaches to this kind of stuff, rather than, you know, going into some type of commercial partnership in some ways.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that they won't.
There was just a big story about Microsoft and other companies on, I believe it was the CBS Morning News, about them and their big hiring push, not for people with disabilities and how they've supported them, which is really cool to see.
Lot about empathy, which was really, really cool. And that ties into Satya Nadella's book. So if you haven't read that, I know I've mentioned it before. It's on Bookshare. And I believe it's on Bard now too, the new Satya Nadella book, which explains a little bit why he's very much into disabilities, not just that CBS This Morning thing, although that was great. And we do know actual people who are working at Microsoft. We actually several Microsoft employees. That is just crazy.
Before we move on, I want a question for you.
Yeah.
And the listeners as well. So, and Be My Eyes has asked this, who else would you like to see? Now, the tech stuff is, you know, that's obvious. Amazon, Google, whatever.
Right.
I'd like to see, say, like a fashion consultant from Nordstrom. You know what I mean? Something a little bit different. I think that'd be really an interesting tie-in where you could talk to them. You could maybe have them describe different outfits, and then you can either order it right with them, or, you know, maybe arrange to go to a store and find or the same
Stitch
thing.
Stitch Fix or Wantable or one of those companies would partner, and then you could work with a consultant and show them your existing wardrobe maybe and
get
a style kind of thing. Uber's available because I think it's Lyft that's working with Ira. So, hey,
no, Ira has both. Well, Ira has a partnership with both.
Oh, do they have both?
Yes, in various forms. I thought it was just one. The Lyft partnership might be a little bit stronger, but they are at least integrated with both services. Okay. And I don't think Uber and Lyft are the type of companies that will partner with lots of people. So feedback at blindbargains.com. Let us know if you've tried this and what other types of companies you might want to see on this.
You know, last week we had Stan give us an update on his Orbit Reader. We'll have Buddy come back in and talk about his new Orbit Reader and how it compares to the Braille Me. But in the meantime, Orbit Reader has had an update in JAWS that is very, very helpful. By that, I mean drivers. That is extremely helpful. So now JAWS has official Orbit Reader drivers.
Yes, it's coming out. Well, actually, it's available now for download. It will be in the March JAWS update or the next one after the one that we're about to talk about that just came out. But you can get it now if you have an Orbit 20. And what this pretty much does is gives you the last two cells because right now or before they were emulating a Refresher Braille 18, which is great, except it's 18 and not 20. So you kind of were missing two cells. So, you know, it's good that that's out and you can get that now. We'll link to it, of course, in the show notes along with the latest JAWS update. Yeah. I like how JAWS does all these frequent updates now, and a lot more than they used to. That's been a trend for a few years now. This one's just all over the place.
If you have 2018.
Yes, not 18, 2018.
Right, 2018. No confusion there. No. So, and also ZoomText has an update coming out, I believe, as well. And I think that'll be the norm, too. Yep. Kind of like how Apple has an update, and then all your Apple devices kind of have updates. I think that's what you're going to see in the future from VFO.
This is intuitive. So if you open an inaccessible PDF with JAWS, JAWS will now ask you if you'd like to run OCR on it. Just like little things like that make sense. Like why, you know, we see that this PDF is crap. Let's do something about it. Essentially, you know.
We see you want to convert it from PDF to Word and then back to PDF again. Oh, no, wait.
They're supporting the new Braille mode in Google Sheets, which is a thing that Google added recently. They still recommend, for whatever reason, that I'm sure is technical, that you turn a Braille display on using Google Docs, even if you don't use a Braille display, because they say it's faster. Huh. So that's an interesting little tip that's buried here in the release notes. So again, free update for everything from, I don't see a lot of Firefox, so that I think is still coming. I see a lot of Chrome mentions. A lot of our listeners have said they just switched to Chrome.
Individual cookie management is gone in Firefox 60 nightlies, which I thought that was really interesting. We'll see how that works out. That was a Slashdot article on my Twitter feed. The other cool thing is that NVDA also has gone release candidate on its newest release. Are you playing around still with the latest on NVDA?
Yeah, I'm on next. About this? So it's this update, a lot more Braille stuff. There's a new HIMSS driver. So that's a big thing. Finally, and that's one of the things that I've griped about in the past, and Scott and other people have. So they consolidated the HIMSS driver into one, and it does a lot more stuff. Like there was simple things before with a lot of their Braille drivers that you couldn't press, say, like Alt Control M. You could do Alt M or Control M, but you couldn't do Alt Control M. So things like that have been vastly, vastly improved, and along with other things, and the constant updating and honing in of various issues. So we'll definitely stay up to date with that.
Is there a Polaris update? Did we verify that there was a Polaris update?
No, you said there was one and I hadn't looked.
There
is an Envision. We'll check on that one. There's an Envision. There's a couple of things. There's a Galaxy update. You have that. ID Mate Galaxy.
Yes, I do have the new ID Mate Galaxy update.
Does it boot faster? That's what it says.
It does boot faster. So it would give you like beep, really long beeps. So it would be like beep, beep, and then when it would get close to the end, it would go beep, 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 It doesn't do that anymore. It is kind of recognizing things faster, because what also would happen several firmwares ago was that you had to wait for it to try and connect to your internet and succeed or fail, and then it would actually start speaking correctly, or it would interrupt itself if you were going to scan something and then it made the connection pass or fail, and then it would stop reading. So it was one of those where you have the ability to know that you can start scanning things immediately after boot. It feels faster. Ricky said it felt faster. So it's not just me saying that. And that's really the most important thing in this update. There's a couple of other little things that they fixed along the way, but that is the big one for this newest ID Mate Galaxy update.
Awesome. Free. And also a shout out to Patrick, because we forgot to tell him that we were recording earlier. This week,
so there's Patrick coming in channel.
Just sit up in the corner and grab a chair and get some snacks and
Envision AI has updated on the iOS App Store. It is now doing handwriting recognition and looking a whole lot like Microsoft Seeing AI, except it's coming out in a lot more languages. They've had a lot of community support for various languages. Definitely check them out on Twitter or the official
Better share sheet integration too, from like, so you can go to your Twitter app.
Also is very much like Microsoft Seeing AI, where you could, if you've never done this, this is super cool. So you could actually like save a picture to your camera roll, or look at a picture in your camera roll and then share it and then send that over to Envision AI, like you could Seeing AI, which is super helpful. And like you were saying, being able to read from Twitter, like if you don't know what that picture is and it doesn't have a caption or some type of identification marker, then you could actually do that too, which is awesome. There are people, when that first came out for Seeing AI, that were just going through their camera roll to see what they could find in scenes and the like, and that was really funny.
There definitely lots of advancements and all that stuff, which is really cool. By the way, Hims, I love you guys. So the latest Polaris firmware is 21,674, which is great, except I have no idea when that was released.
They're all free.
They are free. It'd be cool to have a date on this, whoever's running this webpage. But anyway, so I don't know if that's this week or not. I guess we'll have to investigate that. But does that mean anything to you? 21,674?
Has it been that many? Not off the top of my head.
There's no date in that.
Not off the top of my head. I will double check.
I'm sure a listener will write in for next week and let us know. So
Definitely. But if you have a Polaris, look for an update. And if one pops up, then bonus. Oh. That's awesome. Yeah, perfect. The Nearby Explorer app that you had just heard Larry talk about in Florida with JJ has updated, and it has added some new features as well, done some bug fixing as well. Some of it even relates to the indoor mode, if you take a look, and also where it would open, its default opening, a little bit more about map positioning. Also, there was a bug they fixed about landscape mode, like if you turned your phone, you'd gone from portrait to landscape. So a lot of crucial fixes that are in there. If you've not played with Nearby Explorer yet and you weren't necessarily intrigued by Larry's demonstration, which I thought was super cool, you might still want to give that a try. Remember that
there's lots of little things here. Better reporting of intersections where they're complex. Here's an interesting one, because I know this gets talked about a little bit on this show. If you're not running VoiceOver, it will default to map view.
Yeah, which I thought was really interesting. And that could be for those in orientation mobility who want to learn the map in order to tell you how to use it. And
you have to turn beacons on by default now. But yeah, lots of updates. And as Larry said in the interview, pretty soon they're going to have parity between the Android and iOS versions. So this stuff is going to come over to Android soon, and then they're going to do tat for tat with new features, as they should.
Right.
Now, so we've talked about lots of...
That leads us to...
Oh, yeah, this. So we've talked a lot about $3,000, $5,000 glasses. I think CyberEyes is $2,500.
Sure.
How about 5,000 yen?
Oh, 5,000 yen. Wow, that is way cheap. And if you think 5,000 yen is a lot, it isn't. It's around $46 and change.
Yeah, this is the, these are smart glasses, Oten Glass. It's on a Japanese version of Kickstarter. So I'll try to read some Japanese to try to buy this thing.
Run that through Google Translate, and then you'll get the 15,000 eggs, when there should have been 1,500 eggs, like the Norwegians did at the Olympics with Google Translate.
I got really excited when I saw this. So far, the company has raised 1,236,500. Oh my gosh, they made their goal. yen, oh, which is $11,573 and 10% of their goal.
Surprise! Oh, no.
It is 12% of their goal.
So this is a Kickstarter that is using a Raspberry Pi with glasses. I saw this from voice for Android.
Raspberry Pi is almost that much money, depending on which one they're using. One thing that'll be a problem for a few people, if you blink to indicate that you wanted to read something. So they're going to need to add a button for some people there because, you know, that's
for everyone. I mean, I could see that for hands-free. Nice. Yes. Hands. Here's your Red Hot Chili Pipers again. Hands-free in order to use that for like eye gaze.
Hands-free. I like talking about reading. Chancy for a second. Like hands-free.
No.
I was really confused what was going on.
Totally all over the place. Yeah, this is really interesting. So you could do that with hands-free and be able to read all sorts of text that way, like, you know, for people who have eye gazing or that. But yeah, sometimes those facial tics can be really kind of strange. The conversation that came up because you would ask what were the big stories of the week right before we recorded, somebody had said, what is going on at Mobile World Congress? Yeah. Other than the Samsung S9, which has horrific Animoji ripoffs. So the Apple Animoji thingy, Samsung copied it. And one of the descriptions was that there's a lot of facial judder and facial twitching because it's doing some weird algorithm when it takes a picture of your face. And they said it was just uncannily scary, like the thing that nightmares are made out of. The interesting thing here is that these could be very cheap and very easy to get if you back this particular Kickstarter. And when you consider what we've been talking about from OrCam and all these other things, it's good to have these options out there. This is, like you said at ATIA, this is the next frontier right here.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, there's already four or five, and I don't even think I saw all of them, and there are likely more. So, I mean, this is where low vision is going, but I think there are some applications for totally blind people, too, once we figure out how to actually make the things work. Like, can it be reader eventually figured out, in a sense? So, sure. You know... By the way, they aren't saying too much about it, but I know they are working on a KNFB Reader 3. So they've mentioned that before. Later on as well. Maybe next month or two or three, we'll see what's going on there. CSUN's just a couple weeks away. But before we get to CSUN, before actually we get to ATIA, let me just tell you a couple of our biggest, newest products over at AT Guys are in the warehouse ready to ship to you. The MicroSpeak, now 8-gig digital voice recorder featuring the voice of Ricky Inger. Mm-hmm. On the site for $59.95, and the Aftershocks Trex Air. Now, yes, these are a little more expensive at $179. Oh my gosh, it is a bit for a pair of bone conduction headphones compared to some of the others, but they are lighter. They're about an ounce, like 1.2 ounces. I barely realize I'm wearing them. And wow. I've been finding myself walking around and wearing these things a lot. They have better transducers. You use the EQ settings. You can make them sound pretty interesting as far as if you want more of a bassy profile or more of a voice vocal profile. And the battery life is higher. Battery life is higher on this one as well. So it's the premium model. So now, you know, it's kind of like the iPhone 8 versus the 10, right? You can get the regular Trex Titanium, great headset for $129. Or you can step up and get the Trex Air for $179 and kind of have the premium bone conduction experience from Aftershocks. It's all at atguys.com. You can call us up at 269-216-4798 or tweet us because Twitter's fun at atguys.
There is a lot more to come. As JJ mentioned, there is information still to talk about in the realm of audio and, of course, video. We're going to talk about video magnification when we get down to Sound Off, among some other things, and we'll have a kind of a movie tie-in for the last word, or at least my last word will be definitely on that. And we'll have something in the tip file. You know, you're right. Just a few weeks before we get to Orlando. Wait, no. Went to Orlando. Just a few weeks before we leave Orlando behind us and start concentrating on San Diego, and then from San Diego to San Francisco, and then back to Orlando. There was the original segue. And so we've got a little bit more to do before we can finish that off. This is a second interview from the ATIA conference that JJ attended. And once when we come back from that, we'll roll into that tip I mentioned just moments ago. Oh,
We are here outside of ATIA 2018. It's so beautiful outside. We have to do all of our interviews outside, I think. We're here with John Taylor from IREAT. He's a product director, and he's showing me a new Android smartphone with a keypad on it, among other things. John, welcome to Blind Bargains.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So tell me what we're holding here.
So this is the Smart Vision 2. It's made by Capsys. They're a French company, and what they've done essentially is they've created a smartphone with kind of all the extra features that would be helpful for somebody with visual impairments. So it has a touchscreen, of course, but it also has physical buttons and physical controls. So you have a dialing pad, which you can not only dial phone numbers on, but you can also text as well. Then, of course, you have, you know, the gestures you know and love, you know, like voiceover. You can swipe, double tap, that kind of thing. And you can navigate the entire Android operating system. Now, what they've done with the Android operating system, in an effort to make it a little more simple, they've actually simplified the menu structure and things like that just to help get through it quicker and faster. And they've added some cool features like low vision features. They have one called MagniText where you can enlarge all of the text across the entire device and have a display or read across and scroll across your screen. Anyway, but you have things like a physical send button, a physical end button to make your calls.
Hey, let's describe that top, yeah. Just so the layout of the, you have the touchscreen on the top.
So on the very top of the device, you have your unlock button. Going mm-hmm. down the device, on the front you have your touchscreen. You have a fairly good sized touchscreen surface, and then below your touchscreen you have your physical buttons. So, you know, your standard Android button, like your back button, your menu button, your home button, that kind of thing. There are physical buttons for all of those, as well as an additional delete key for mm-hmm. if you're texting or typing or something like that, and you simply want to just delete a character or something like that. And then there also is a physical directional pad as well, so you can use that rather than using the swipe gestures on the touchscreen too.
If you press right on that, is it the same as a swipe right?
No, actually, so up and down is going to be the same as your swiping gesture. And then they've also used the left and right actually to kind of make you so you can jump further. So if you press the right button, it'll actually jump you to the bottom of the list that you're currently on. Or if you press the left button, it'll jump you to the top of the list.
Can you program those?
You can't yet at this point. Those are just built in kind of standard, and then use up and down just to move by one single option at a time.
Sure. And below that, yeah, the actual folding there, numeric keypad.
They do. Yeah. You got your standard 1 through 0 and your, you know, star and pound signs, that kind of thing. And those buttons also can be used like control, like the magnifier to zoom in, zoom out, change your high contrast mode, things like that. And you can also set it up in two different ways. You can set it up for a user who's low vision or a user who's blind. The low vision feature, everything's larger. As we're with the blind feature, it's all used. The TalkBack, and they've actually made some improvements to TalkBack to make it work a little better as well.
So let's talk about that. So which version of Android, and is it a customized version of TalkBack, or what's going on?
It is a customized version of TalkBack. So they have something called their Capsys Accessibility Services, and what they've done is they've gone ahead and they've modified that and improved it as much as they can, and they made it work with the physical buttons, physical controls,
right,
things like that. So it is running Android version 4.0. I'm trying to remember. I think it's KitKat is what it is. But they are planning on updating that as well.
Okay, yeah, but that is.
And your updates, of course, are going to be available over.
Because I wonder about that, especially with, you know, TalkBack updates. Of course, Android's up to 8 now, mm-hmm. and, you know, is this going to stay current as you're going forward?
I know that they're planning on updating it very, very soon, and they're planning on going, I think, to the most current version. So it is something that they're going to keep continuing to update, of course. Maybe it won't be as fast as, sure. you know, your standard Android updates, but you can just go simply into your Android settings and update like you would any other Android device, and it updates the Capsys.
And part of the market for this, maybe it doesn't matter as much because you're really targeting in some ways, right, at people who want the physical buttons or perhaps want a simpler interface than mm-hmm. a full-blown, out-of-the-box Android experience, right?
Right, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, part of the problem with Android is kind of how complicated some of their stuff is. So they have definitely streamlined, you know, the interface to make it a lot easier and quicker to navigate.
You also have, looking at the internals, I think you said 16 gigs of memory.
16 gigs, yeah, and an expandable with, you could stick in an SD card with expandable storage up to an additional 64 gigs. It's got an 8-megapixel camera on the back, 2-megapixel on the front.
Headphone jack?
It does have a headphone jack, absolutely.
that's not a feature.
We haven't gotten rid of that yet. they also have USB-C type charging, which is nice because you can
put it more modern.
Either way, yeah, and it's a little faster too.
Quad-core processor, I believe.
Quad-core processor was, I think it was a 1.7 gigahertz quad-core. It's a Qualcomm Snapdragon.
Why don't we just look at that? We can hear the voice, and you were kind of showing me the main menu.
Let me go ahead and turn it on, so I'm going to unlock it real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Device unlocked.
And then I can just.
1:09 p.m.
So that's your standard
battery
Android.
Level. 87% remaining.
Okay, and it gives me my date and time at the top, and it tells me my battery life remaining. And then here, from here, I can either swipe or I can use my directional pad. So I'll just press down on my directional pad.
1:10 p.m. It tells me my date. Applications.
All applications.
Contacts.
Phone. Messaging. Okay, and those are your standard by default on your main screen, but you can add any application you want to your main screen as well. So you can quick access those, or you can go into all of your applications. Of course, you have access to the Google Play Store, so you can download whatever apps you want.
Yeah, if it works on Android, it'll work here, as long as it supports the version that's on here.
Correct, yeah.
Would you keep, essentially that's a customized home screen or launcher.
It is.
And you generally would keep that, or could you replace that with a different launcher if you wanted to? Or?
So if you wanted to, you can't replace it with a different launcher. You could, I guess, disable the Capsys, accessibility settings and switch back to the stock Android feel.
Right. Your problems, perhaps, with the physical buttons is how well are those all going to work?
Correct.
If you...
Yes. Yeah. So we, of course, we're going to recommend you use the Capsys, launcher, but you don't have to.
If you're in regular Android apps, for instance, that accept numeric input, will the numbers work on those?
They should. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So any of the Google apps and things like that, you could change the voice as well, or
you can. So yeah, it uses again the Capsys accessibility service as part of that. They're using their own voices and stuff. You can adjust the voice, and you could switch to use Google Talkback if you wanted to as well.
Okay. So awesome. And so what is the price of this now?
It's a little over $800 for the Smart Vision 2 Premium.
Explain that. There's two different versions.
Yeah, there are. So there's a Smart Vision 2 and then the Smart Vision 2 Premium. And the phone is actually the exact same. So the Premium comes with a few extra features, and it's about $200 more. So the Premium comes with the Capsys GPS. Capsys has been doing GPS for a long time. They used to
have the Captain.
The Captain, right,
yes.
Exactly. They had the Captain and then the Captain Mobility. And then so that comes with that, a new version updated for smartphones. It also comes with a book reader and OCR capabilities. So those are the premium features. So if you opt for, if you want to save a couple hundred bucks and get, just the standard version, that's just fine. You can pay for and add the other features later on if you want to, or you can get it all together for a little bit more with those features included.
And software updates for a reasonable time, at least, if you buy one of these now, like you said, the new one coming out a little bit.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, for sure. Yeah, well, they seem to update it fairly regularly. Every couple of months we get an update.
Any idea what the battery life is on this?
Not off the top of my head, but so far when we've been using it, it's lasted us all day, no problem, just like you would expect out of a smartphone. Maybe throw it on the charger at night and then you're good for the rest of the day. It does have NFC too, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
It comes with some NFC tags, and of course you can buy NFC tags off like Amazon. You can buy them. They're super cheap. Anyway, so you could tag whatever you want, and then of course, like with most Android things, you can assign those tags, whether it be
Do you have
tags.
An app for that then on there?
We do. Mm-hmm. There is an actual, there's an NFC tagging app, so you could do a tag like a voice memo, you could tag a little bit of text. Anyway, that way you could label things and then just
and
bump,
read
your
it back to you.
Bump your phone to it. Anyway, nice handy feature,
Cool. We were looking in the booth before we came out here, and another way perhaps to make phones accessible. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that's another product that we're just launching, we're really excited about too. It's called Synaptic. So what Synaptic is it's also for Android devices, but it's not specifically just a phone. Synaptic is actually a software that you can put on whatever Android device you would like, phones included, of course. So what it is it's a new interface for Android that ultra simplifies, makes everything large print, high contrast, read stuff aloud to you. You can customize it, but essentially what it has is the more standard features that most people are going to want to use. Skype, texting and phone calls. If you have if it's on a cell phone, of course. If it's on a tablet, it's not going to have texting and phone calls.
Yes.
But you can do Skype or something instead. Email, like a note taking app, voice memos app, web browser, email, kind of the basic stuff that you're going to use every single day. And of course, you do have access to the to Android. So you can use the Google Play Store to get whatever app you want. But what it is essentially, it's a large print, high contrast speech feedback interface that ultra simplifies the any Android device. So
how do you acquire this? Is it on Google Play, or do you
No, it's actually not. So it's a little bit more intensive than your standard app. So it's more like a piece of software that you would install. So it's actually for purchase, and we can send you a download link for it, and it's something you can download and install on any Android device that you want. Again, any Android 4.0 or higher anyway.
Is there a free trial available?
There is a 15-day free trial available that you can get from us if you visit us at www.iri-at.com. We do have a link for that on our Synaptic page. You can get yourself a free trial and try it out on your smartphone.
And how much does it cost about?
So the software is just under $400. It's like $395.
And that's available now.
It is available right now.
Yep. And like, it's been around for a little bit, but this is new to the U.S., right?
It is. Actually, it's Synaptic is a company out of the U.K., so they're actually here with us at ATIA, and the folks are awesome. We've been having a really great time with them, and they make an awesome product. So, but and Irie has become their master distributor for all of the United States. So you can get it through us. We also are going to be selling it through our local distributor as well. And if you have an Android device already, you can get the software for it, or we will be bundling it also with a 10-inch Samsung Galaxy tablet, as well as a 7-inch Samsung Galaxy tablet as well. So if you want the whole package, or if you just want the software for whatever Android device you want to buy, you can always do that too.
Awesome. Thank you so much, John. It's been a pleasure.
You bet. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We had talked to Shelley Brisbane about Invert, Smart Invert, and how more things need to work with Smart Invert. And I totally agree with her. But it's really funny when apps just kind of start working with Smart Invert. I'm looking at you, Google Search. All of a sudden, all the Smart Invert things were working correctly, and I didn't even know that was going to happen. That list grows even longer and longer every day. But before we had Smart Invert, we had dark mode and a need for dark mode. And believe it or not, Lifehacker turned me on to this wonderful site called Dark Mode List, which is trying to compile all the apps on various platforms that have dark modes in them, which is so awesome. So if you're looking for apps to go after that provide dark mode, this is a site you want to go to. Now, for those who don't know what dark mode is, that is a mode that projects white text on a black background by default and still keeps you from having to have negative images of pictures. Because if you do just an invert, like if you just told Siri before iOS 11 to invert colors, it would invert all of the screen, 100% conversion. And that meant that photographs would look like x-rays because it would like flip the negative to a positive or positive to a negative. And it would really be bad to use it that way because you would see like a dark screen, white text, and then this big blocky, bright white picture because it would, you know, flip it. Now with dark mode in a lot of apps, you can still have a traditional true color image as well as doing, of course, the white text on the black background. So it's super helpful. A lot of people do it now to save battery. A lot of people are using it for things beyond accessibility. They use it because they find that it's easier on the eyes before they fall asleep if they're reading in bed. So a lot more sites and apps are starting to do it. It is Dark Mode List, and it is available here in the tips section.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
Send your tips to feedback at blindbargains.com. And we do appreciate, we had a comment on Twitter. I was trying to see who it was, thanking me for the now playing history tip. So for Pixel 2.
Oh, yes, you did. You certainly did. Somebody was really, really excited about that. That actually started off a whole secondary discussion that actually is referred to here in the sound off section. So while you're looking for that, I'll mention that Santiago wrote in not once but twice to clarify his points. He was very interested in some of the things that we've been talking about in regards to Android. But for him and several people on Twitter, the thing that keeps them from wanting to consider or making a jump to Android as a full-time thing is that there is no Braille text input. So this is a big thing for a lot of people. By the way, when you call it BTI, that makes me think of traumatic brain injury, TBI. So because I'm doing a lot more VR stuff lately, so I have to stop and reread the acronym every once in a while. But yeah, a lot of people are asking us, do we think that Braille back is going to be improved? Do we think that BTI is going to see a presence on some form of Google, be it Android O or maybe even P when that comes around to being announced probably at Google I.O. in May? The short answer, sure, comma, it could, period, but we really don't know. There's no real way of knowing. A lot of people are starting to roll their own, like Amazon VoiceView is doing their own thing. Braille input is done differently, of course, with the Braille Note Touch and the HIMS Polaris. So some people are starting to take that on themselves and step away from other things. Of course, that kind of falls down when you're starting to use things within the Google Play ecosystem. Jay, what do you think? I mean, pairing up a Braille display or Braille screen input, is that something that you would use more if you had it?
Yeah, it's the biggest weakness on Android by far. Yeah. I was actually just about to write an op-ed on this on this blind bargain site because I mean it's I hear a lot of iOS users who are Braille users. A lot of your power iOS users are Braille users, which makes sense given, you know, the kind of the connection between learning that and learning technology. And I'll hear a lot of people say, man, I really would look at Android, but, and it's usually the but is the Braille more than anything else out there. Most of the other buts are usually misconception type things. Like, I don't think the apps would work, or how does it work? Blah, blah, blah. You know, the Braille is the one that is an absolute truth. Then there was a Brailleback beta that came out, what, a year and a half ago? And it's kind of just been just sitting there. I hope, really hope, I mean, if nothing else, I mean, this needs to happen. It's definitely sooner than later. It's very frustrating.
And it seems weird that it hasn't been addressed before. And to be fair, there really hasn't been, to the best of my knowledge, an M-Braille-like approach from an app.
Well, there are some soft Braille keyboards that are out there for Android. The problem with the ones that I've seen, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, is that you always turn TalkBack off to use them, because that's not an app, that's a TalkBack limitation, and no one's been able to get around that. So that's, you know, a problem. Yeah,
that's interesting. And as much as people can say that, iOS has the same problem. If you use switch access, if you rely on switches, you have to have VoiceOver running because it's a part of the accessibility framework within Springboard. So there's weird disability quirks for every operating system. This just happens to be one on either side here. Yeah, we'll ask Google, as we usually do every time we see them at one of these major conferences. I would love this to be kind of one of those things like what I'm using right now, one of the Windows Insider builds, and there is narrator in safe mode. I will say again, narrator in safe mode. That's not official. That's not rolling. That's still in Windows Insider and testing to the public. But it would be nice to have a lot of these classic things knocked off our list. Like, can I run Windows installer with speech? Yes, you can now. So it would be really great to knock some of these classics down, wouldn't it? That would be fantastic for 2018. Yes. Mike writes in.
Hi, Mike.
And he wanted to know, he enjoys the podcast. He wants to know about glare and what's going on with video magnifiers and LCD displays. This is a very interesting conversation. Yep. So a lot of magnifier companies just reach out and grab off-the-shelf monitors. They're not specially constructed monitors, or at least not anymore. It's hardly ever seen anymore. And they're not necessarily modified ones. That means that you're going to get a lot more glossy monitors. It's hard to look for what's called a matte finish, which not only affects your LCD in monitors for computers, but also televisions. So that is a very difficult thing to find now, because a lot of manufacturers believe that their video output looks better for colors and color representation if it has a glossy finish. The problem with that, for those who aren't sure, is that in a lighted room, especially if you're in an office environment, if you don't tilt your monitor the right way, you could actually watch yourself watching the monitor. It reflects. It's almost like a giant mirror. And so you can say, hey, look, I didn't shave this morning because I can see myself in this monitor. I could, you know, look right in it. It's like a window on the world. There are handheld manufacturers that do look at that. And a lot of handheld manufacturers in the 5-inch range to about the 12-inch range generally have matte finishes or less glare, or they're putting on glare reflective coating in order to work with that. Unless you're specifically looking for that, or you have a dealer in your area, you won't know that. You won't know that from looking at a picture on a website, and not all reviews necessarily mention that unless you specifically ask. So unfortunately, Mike, it takes a little bit of research. It may mean that you have to see something before you decide to choose one, especially when you get down to the more affordable handheld units. It's something that Shelly and I will probably definitely talk about out of the ones that we see coming out of CSUN on the wrap-up show, because it's something that Shelly and I talk about a lot. That and bezels. JJ's heard me talk about this. There were lighter colored bezels, and that can cause glare as well. So think of it like a picture border, a picture frame around what you're trying to read. If it's brighter for some eye conditions, that reflects light back into your eye. So it may look stylistically cool, but it's the same way that you can get an iPhone with a white border or an iPhone with a black border. Some people prefer the white border because reading text, they feel like it's a more even look. For people like myself with glaucoma, no, because I tend to look at things in the dark more and use the illuminated screen as the light source. So for me, a white border would drive me insane. Hence the reason why I haven't gotten a new video magnifier, because I just can't find a bezel that I like yet.
All right.
So that gives you kind of a down and dirty, Mike. Hope that helps. And we'll talk about it more. If you got questions like this for video magnifiers, go ahead and send them in. We'll try and answer them, especially when Shelly's here, because he's
right here. Let you guys take all of her, all that. Let me take a couple of these since you took like the first three. But they were your questions.
Well, two of them were San Diego.
So, no, absolutely. Yeah, no. And then obviously I'm not going to give much of an answer on video magnifiers anyway. Hey, Arco, who wrote us a couple weeks ago and about Ira, wanted to apologize. You don't have to apologize. So this was, they wrote in comments a couple weeks ago. This was the person that said, I'll never listen to your podcast again because I don't like what you said about Ira, and kind of wrote up and said, you know what? I realize you guys weren't, I think, trying to understand what we were really coming after. We're talking about the business and we weren't talking about the service. And, you know, hey, I appreciate that. There's no need for you to apologize. I'm glad that you're still listening. And you know what? It set off an interesting conversation. So certainly glad that you wrote in. So absolutely.
Cool. I'm glad stuff. You and stayed with us.
Yes, absolutely. We try to be thoughtful. We're not going to rehash. Go back to last episode or the one before that to hear lots of conversations.
But your conversation is very indicative of what we got from some people. Yeah. Some people heard the same thing, and that's okay. That's why we even brought it up in the first place. That's why we even took the stance that some of us did on the panel. Sometimes when we do that, it's really to try and get something out of the listenership, because we don't know everything. And there's some people out there who have amazing knowledge who've corrected us. And I've said this on podcasts for 8 years. I am happy to be wrong. Oh my gosh. I am so happy to be wrong. So if somebody has a different viewpoint, we'd love to hear it. And you see that in our sound off. That's why this is even here. This entire section right here is
Twitter.
So I can say, whoop,
Twitter. Oops. This is I like to shout the new user. This is Tim, who apparently goes by Carrot Top 1023. Well,
I saw that.
Hope you're funnier than your username. No, but hey, thank you. Just kidding. I just want to let you know I subscribe to your podcast on the Victor Rita stream, and keep up the good work.
He won't anymore.
Enjoy these episodes. We do appreciate you listening. I always like shouting out the newer listeners. And Lewis, who's at HBosh1, who was the one that shouted out about the Now Playing history tip. So that was on last week's show.
Oh, good. Pixel you found it.
2. And this clip. So there's this flight simulator called Eurofly, which is great, except, you know, you have to be pretty focused, right? Landing a plane. Well, here's what Diana was doing while playing Eurofly. Hello, people of podcast land. I am proud to proceed with our popular, pleasure-filled, party-filled presentation of the Blind Bargains podcast. While the Polish party on Fat Tuesday, that's Fat with
task
a P,
to departure, Warsaw destination, Rome of you passengers,
purview,
get to park, pass legs,
technology,
Krakow hyphen, the policy hype aircrafts,
products that our people are privy to.
Boeing 700.
Oh, Joe's here.
Yes, I think you like perturbing Patrick a great deal.
Poland crack, Poland Katowice bitters, Poland crack, oh hell.
Auto navigation on.
This is why the episode came out one more day.
Tail lights on, rope lights on,
right
cabin lights on.
Opening of the show. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 133.
How set frequency ground 115.38. Enter frequency.
I'm hungry because 115.3.
My dinner order. Apparently, Dasher's on the way, but your Dasher can only go to the place that it's meant to go if the right address is in.
That's the thing. You know, I put there's an east and a north of the same street.
Flaps extended.
Oh my gosh.
So at some point, you might hear JJ disappear, and maybe we'll leave it on mic.
Syracuse 737, taxi to gate 1 to connect passenger 4.
Pause the show, or what we're going to do, who knows.
In which he would actually have his food in
flight management computer.
But that is not going to happen. So we're just going to keep rolling, because that's just who we are in 2018. I'm just saying.
23.
Hey, coming up, we've got some
25
from that
wonderful
ATIA conference that we barely talk about anymore. But Jay was there.
Gates.
And we talked to Larry over at APH, and you guys are going to go exploring.
Gates.
Nearby exploring.
Yes! Nearby exploring. We got a couple of audio pieces from ATA.
Syracuse 737.
Itself, you know, it's kind of finding a footing in a niche, I think. And we'll talk about the conference itself a little bit later, and you can hear what fireworks, feeling fireworks, sound like as as some other stuff there.
Magical from the Magic Kingdom.
Magical.
And we'll have a little bit more with Sound Off and a last word, which is the stuff of freaking nightmares. I am not kidding. If you don't believe me, you can put this
auto navigation off.
On pause. Go to the show notes over at blindbargains.com. Go to episode 133. Click on the link at the bottom of the last
Poland track up Poland for Klausy Bitter's house, 42 miles, 41 light, 4 minutes. Added to navigation.
That's our pilots listening to us. Mm-hmm. Listening to us talk while trying to fly over the ocean.
Recursor.
Good thing it's a simulator. And she did land, I think. Maybe.
Yay, for her passengers. Good luck for them.
No, thanks for sending that in.
To be fair, we did scare her with the Furby clip. And I warned everybody. I warned so many of you that Furby thing was just scary. Yeah. But I'm going to make it up to you.
Oh, yeah?
I'm gonna make it up to you because JJ is not someone who's into science fiction. I've tried.
No.
I've mentioned some good things, and he's just not bit. But what if the rumor that Quentin Tarantino is going to direct a Star Trek movie comes true? What if it does? Would you be interested then? Quentin Tarantino, R-rated Star Trek. It's entirely possible. And I got an idea what it'd sound like. Here, take a listen to this.
To boldly go where no man has gone before. But outer space has other plans. And now, their mission has changed.
There's just one thing I want.
Revenge, Captain?
Why not?
Introducing the ninth film by Quentin Tarantino.
What were your orders, Kirk? To start a war, you've succeeded.
They meant to bring peace to the galaxy.
This will be your final battlefield.
They brought their pieces instead. It's a galaxy of green blood, green women, and Nazis.
Tell me your orders. You were sent here to kill Afira. Confess.
What in blazes is this?
Set your phasers to thrill.
Keep your f***ing hands off me.
In this final frontier, their prime directive...
Fire!
...is to kill. Quentin Tarantino's Star Trek. Voyage to Vengeance.
You're out of your f***ing mind, Spock.
Coming soon to a drive-in near you.
So that's what... I'm sure Samuel L. Jackson would be in there somewhere.
But, oh yeah, gosh, absolutely. Now, here's the geek in me, but not the star, not that kind of geek. I'm like
not that kind. Yes,
I'm like QT right. Star Trek. What is this? The program? Why are they using the QT framework for? Wait, what are they using? QuickTime? What does he mean by this?
The QuickTime Star Trek. I like that, actually.
I'm fine with QuickTime.
Some of the early Star Treks probably did appear on QuickTime, ripped by pirates. I'm quite sure of that.
If QuickTime means it's over in 30 seconds, then
it does now.
You know, sorry for sci-fi. The only thing that's bad about the sci-fi clips is I don't have a lot of intelligent bards to throw at you because I've never seen
but you've seen a Quentin Tarantino movie, I figured it's worth a shot. Yeah.
Now, you've probably eaten this. Here we go. I brought the food this time.
Okay.
I've been flying a lot, obviously, lately, and ended up, because I've been flying a lot, so every so often I get a first class upgrade. Cool.
Right. Which comes with a meal.
Usually the ones I get are like on the flight from, you know, Grand Rapids to Chicago. There's no meal.
Oh, okay.
You know, right, I'm not that high up to get a nice big upgrade, you know.
Two bags of peanuts.
Right. Gotcha. Well, no, you get some different snacks. So they have like French fried chips. This is on American. They have French fried chips. Have you heard of, you probably have, they're now serving Rip Van Waffles.
No, I have not. And this, we're recording this on Pancake Day. So what?
It's IHOP's Pancake Day. Yeah. First of all, I like the name. Second, so this is the modern take on what's called a Stroopwafel, or Schubweifel.
Oh, okay. Boy, I hope you had to figure that out and not speech, because, man,
that I'm still... I've seen different pronunciations on YouTube. I try to figure this
out. Gotcha, depends. Gotcha.
But you can... Well, they started out on a food truck hop, but what they are is picture two waffles, or two halves of a waffle, uh-huh. really flattened with something in between them, whether it's oats and honey or coconut, or they have strawberry. I think they have like a sea salt one, which I haven't tried yet. They have a whole bunch of different ones.
Crepe sandwich.
Yes, almost. They're on Amazon, and they're in some stores, and they're at Starbucks, apparently. I didn't know. I know Starbucks has a lot of interesting stuff. They have Bantam bagels at Starbucks, but these guys just started on Kickstarter in 2010, so you go to Starbucks a fair minute.
I walked past one, in fact, just yesterday.
Well, then the next time you walk past one, maybe you should go look for their Rip Van Waffle. And
I like it.
Go check it out, and you know, maybe I don't know if the Starbucks at CSUN will have one. That's more of a hotel Starbucks, so they might not have it there.
Well, you will be proud of us because we used Shipt for the first time through the website, and we did it through Target. And I told my lovely fiance.
Oh, they have Target and Shipt in your area now.
Target. Yes. And
did you have to have a membership?
One of the things.
Sorry to.
We did it through the free trial, so it's hard to tell. Just yet.
It didn't use my referral link. Anyway.
No. We weren't sure where it fit, but we're telling customer service that you were the recommended thing. Okay. But my point here is that Target has Oreos. They are the usual place that you can find rare Oreos. And I have tried chocolate hazelnut Oreos, which the teenager in the house immediately said they should have just called this Nutella, and hot cinnamon Oreos. So not just cinnamon Oreos. These are hot cinnamon Oreos. If you are into Oreos and you heard us talking about Oreos not too long ago in the last word, if you do not wish to get the monthly box, the loot of Oreos from Amazon, Target is the place to go because they usually get the rare flavors of Oreos. So if you're looking for something new to have in your life, that is a great place to go. Target, and of course, Shipt. They're adding new things all the time.
That's going to be popping up in more stores or more areas, because now that Target bought Shipt, there's going to be popping up all over the place and probably most of the country. So you'll be seeing that at some point. You know, I just sent you my referral link, Joe.
Yeah. One of the things that happened right as we walked in is Amazon announced that they're buying Ring Video Doorbell.
Ooh.
So those of you who listen to podcasts for a really long time know what Ring is, because they've bought advertising and podcasts for a whole bunch. Well, it paid off because the Amazon ship done come in. So that's
there
happening.
You go.
There's a lot of talk. What was it? Rite Aid got grabbed recently by Albertsons food group, the Albertsons. So you're seeing a lot of this start to happen after the windfall tax measures, where companies have money and they want to make acquisitions. So I don't think we're done here yet.
Have we been acquired yet?
That means more acquisitions. I don't know.
My phone went off a couple times during the podcast. I'm not sure what were we just acquired?
I spoke to an assistive technology dealer, a friend of mine, earlier today, and I said, so do you have any other things there other than VFO stuff to sell now? Did you change the letters on the front of the board? You know, cause that's kind of what's happening. Very interesting, what's going on, but yes, we all could be acquired. Anything's
possible. You never know. Well, CSUN's come right around the corner, so stay with us. Blindbargains.com for the latest about that. The best way to do that is to subscribe to our podcast, whether it's on a Victor Stream or an iPhone or an Android. Do it on the podcast app on the iPhone, on Podcast Addict on Android. And if you subscribe, the new episodes will come down. You could either download automatically, or you could just say, oh, just let me know about them when they come out. And you'll get all of our CSUN interviews, because those will come in fast and furious, a few per day. So that's the best way to keep up with that, to go to blindbargains.com and subscribe to the Blind Bargains cast. And you can check out the old episodes, such as episode 122, where we talk about grocery delivery services and mostly still current information.
That's where you went back to get the referral link. I totally wondered. Oh, cool. You can follow me, Joe Steinkep, over at Twitter. That is Ranger Station, all one word. That is at Ranger Station, twitter.com/Ranger Station, all one word. You'll be reading a little bit more about things that are coming out before they make it to the show. Also, I too will have some interesting things happening over there on the tweet feed. If you have been following me, you'll see that I'm talking less and less about Doctor Who and more about vocational rehabilitation. There's a reason for that I'm not ready to talk about yet, but there's an actual reason why I'm doing a little bit more talk about VR, consumer services, why you hear me actually echoing some of that here on the program. It's because I'm doing a little bit more in that area. So if you were not interested in some of my silly stuff, it's still there, but a lot more work-related stuff happening on that particular feed.
Thanks so much for listening. Thanks, Patrick, for making us sound great. And despite the fact that we don't tell him when we're actually going to record, we do appreciate him doing that for us. And he's going to have plenty of work to do coming up in a few weeks.
Thank you to our guest who we had on.
John Taylor.
From
IRE-AT. Really cool, too. That's, here we go. IRE, Joe. That's not IRA. That's IRE.
I stopped. Yep. I so stopped. Oh, my gosh. IRE. You know I was going to do it. I was going to tongue twister that thing. And
yes.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to give a plug, you know. It's IRIE-AT.com is the website to learn if you want to get that or an index embosser or whatever other things you want to get from them. But anyway, thank you so much, John, for doing that. And lots more where that came from. That's going to do it, folks.
We'll probably see him definitely in San Diego. So, yep. And then next week, who knows? At this point, I'm super happy we've had a bunch of Braille stuff. So things could change.
There might be more of that coming. So we'll see.
More Braille stuff?
Never have enough Braille. Braille is beautiful.
Braille is beautiful.
That might be another show title at some point. All right, everyone. Have a great week.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2018.